The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is the August edition of Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Paleo Magazine, cleaneating.com. I found a recipe at the Washington Post, a little tidbit article for you from KDVR.com. That's a TV station in Denver. And if we have time, I have a recipe from tasteofhome.com as well. But we're starting off with an article that I found on clean eating, and they got it from Paleo Magazine. This omelet is a low-carb dream for pizza lovers. Saucy, veggie-filled, and crust-free, this breakfast omelet offers everything you could want, all while cutting back on carbohydrates. Skip the leftover store-bought pizza straight out of the fridge, because we've got something that's so much better. You can still enjoy pizza for breakfast, but with our pizza omelet, you'll be skipping the not-so-healthy stuff and fueling up on a protein-packed, veggie-topped meal that satisfies hunger and prepares you for everything in the day ahead. Our pizza omelet cuts the crust and the carbs, making it a great breakfast for anyone who's gone low-carb. In place of traditional crust, a fluffy bed of eggs acts as your base. Eggs are one of the best foods you can eat if you're following the keto diet or trying to limit carbs. In one large egg, you get less than 1 gram of carbs. And if you're looking for a lot of protein, the 6 grams of protein inside each egg will suit your needs perfectly. But this omelet is more than just low carb. It's also topped with nutrient-rich green bell peppers and mushrooms, plus slices of satisfying and protein-rich salami. And you can't skip over the classic tomato-based pizza sauce, which really makes this breakfast pizza feel like a classic slice. This breakfast-approved spin on pizza is also paleo-friendly and gluten-free. Just make sure, if you're opting for a pre-made pizza sauce, that you choose one that doesn't feature any gluten. Plus, you can customize your omelet just like you would your pizza toppings. You can add any of your favorite veggies to the mix if you want to change things up. So this is for one omelet, 1 tablespoon of mushrooms diced small, 1 tablespoon of onion diced small, 1 tablespoon of green pepper diced small, 3 large eggs whisked, 1/4 teaspoon dried oregano, 1/4 teaspoon dried basil, 1/8 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, plus more to taste, 6 to 10 whole pepperonis chopped, 2 tablespoons of coconut or nut milk, 1/2 to 1 tablespoon of pizza or tomato sauce, and 1 tablespoon of oil for the pan. Mix your eggs, coconut milk, pepperoni, spices, herbs, and vegetables in a small bowl. Melt the oil in an omelet pan over low-medium heat. Pour egg mixture into omelet pan. Move pan around to fully cover base if needed. Allow to cook until it starts to become semi-solid. Use a spatula around the pan to break the egg away from the edges. Move the pan around to allow any excess liquid to come off the top, and then use a spatula to fold the omelet in half. Leave in the pan allow to cook and become solid for another 15 to 30 seconds. Then use a spatula to fold the omelet in half. Leave in the pan another 15 to 30 seconds until fully cooked. Remove with spatula and put on the plate. Use the back of a spoon or a spatula to spread the pizza sauce across the top. I think I'm going to have to try that one myself. Now I've got an interesting news article also from cleaneating.com. You may have heard about Skittles. Taste the lawsuit. Mars Incorporated is being sued for including ingredients, quote, unfit for human consumption, end quote. In my humble opinion, Skittles are the elite movie theater candy. When I'm throwing them back during a breathtaking romance, Minions, The Rise of Gru, I'm not thinking about what's inside a Skittle. So when I read about a recent lawsuit filed against Mars Skittles, my stomach flip-flopped. And I mean that in the literal sense, as my earlier remark about snacking during the Minions movie was very true. A consumer filed the lawsuit on the grounds that Skittles contain titanium dioxide, which is TiO2, and have no warning label for the ingredient on the candy's packaging. TiO2 is a white, powdery material used as an additive for color and preserving the shelf life of some packaged food. It can sometimes be found in foods like chocolate, baked sweets, and chewing gum, as well as toothpaste, paper, paint, and more. In Skittles, TiO2 is used to give the candy a white base before coloring for a bright, shiny hue. The FDA allows for a food product to contain up to 1% titanium dioxide without the need to disclose on the ingredient label. While evidence isn't yet conclusive, some food safety experts are skeptical of this mineral. In 2021, the European Food Safety Authority announced it did not consider TiO2 safe when used as a food additive, and a full ban on the use of the ingredient in food takes effect on August 7, 2022. Taking into account all available scientific studies and data, the panel concluded that titanium dioxide can no longer be considered safe as a food additive. Professor Majid Younes, chair of the European Food Safety Authority's panel on food additives and flavorings, said in a statement from the body announcing the decision. A critical element in reaching this conclusion is that we could not exclude genotoxicity concerns after consumption of titanium dioxide particles. After oral ingestion, the absorption of titanium dioxide particles is low. However, they can accumulate in the body. Genotoxicity means a chemical may cause damage to the body's DNA, in this case, potentially due to building up in very small amounts over time. That damage can be linked to cancers and other health concerns. That doesn't mean titanium dioxide is carcinogenic. Tom Nelter, a chemical engineer and the senior director of the Safer Chemicals Initiative at the Environmental Defense Fund, told NPR. It just means we've got to be careful, and the fact that it gets into the body and is retained in the body is important. So far, the U.S. hasn't taken steps to ban the use of titanium dioxide in food. Mars representatives have stated that the formulation of Skittles aligns with all regulations set by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. According to the Center for Food Safety, Mars announced a plan in 2016 to voluntarily phase out the use of the additive across its product line. However, the source statement cited by the Center for Food Safety now appears to have been removed from the Mars corporate website. Clean Eating contacted representatives from Mars for comment, but did not hear back prior to the publication of this story. Elizabeth Shaw, RDN, notes concerns surrounding TiO2, but is wary of canceling brands or products based on troubling headlines alone. The ingredient in question is actually used in a variety of products as well as medicine and supplement capsules, she said. Truthfully, we have to stop thinking as a society with the automatic notion that food is toxic. I advise people to think about the totality of their diet, what they eat on a regular basis. All right, I found this on the Washington Post website, and it's by Becky Crystal. How to make a caprese salad, one of summer's greatest dishes. I'm a firm believer in the theory that sometimes the dishes that taste the best are the ones that require the least amount of work. And that's not only because these days, whether in the kitchen or not, I feel like I'm on the constant hamster wheel of life with no break in sight. It's also because when you have amazing ingredients, there's not much you need to do to them to make them shine. That's especially true when it comes to caprese salad, the signature Italian dish of tomatoes, mozzarella, and basil that is just about everything I want to eat right now. A successful caprese rests largely on the quality of ingredients, says Chef Amy Brandwine of Centralina in Washington. A few years ago, I wrote about my overall tips on how to build the summer salad named after the island, Italian island of Capri, but now I'm offering a simple, flexible recipe to help you get started. Here's a rundown of the main ingredients. Tomatoes. You have to wait until it's tomato season, Brandwine says. Don't bother with out-of-season fruit. Preferably, the tomatoes are vined, ripened, and bursting with flavors and juice. Slightly warm from the field or market, even better. Brandwine likes using red slicing tomatoes, though I love the appearance and flavor of using some or all heirloom varieties. You can exclusively use smaller cherry or grape tomatoes, or mix them in with larger ones. If for some reason you've refrigerated ripe tomatoes, it's okay, I promise. Be sure to give them at least an hour on the counter to come to room temperature for ideal flavor and texture. Mozzarella. Go for the good cheese. I've tested this recipe with buffalo mozzarella and fresh cow milk mozzarella, each packed in liquid. Both were divine. These types of cheeses are delightfully stretchy and moist, which is why I recommend staying away from the shrink-wrapped products. Vacuum-sealed fresh mozzarella is okay if that's all you can find, but I still find its texture not as enjoyable as those packed in liquid. As to the super dry, rubbery mozzarella you'll find near the block and shredded cheese in the grocery store, avoid. For a real treat, consider making your own cheese. Whatever you use, make sure that, like the tomatoes, it's at room temperature, Brandwine says. Olive oil. The olive oil doesn't have to be terribly expensive, says Brandwine, who favors a fruity Ligurian option. As long as it's something you enjoy the taste of on its own and isn't rancid, you'll be good to go. California Olive Ranch is a high-quality grocery store pick. Brandwine says people tend to not put enough oil on their caprese, which is why I've gone with a generous quarter cup here. You want to see it pool somewhat at the bottom of your serving dish so that it mingles with the tomato juices and whey from the cheese to form an irresistible elixir, great for dunking bread in. That's an awesome thing, Brandwine says. Basil. Homegrown herbs are your best bet for freshness and quality. I agree with Brandwine when she says she prefers to use young, smaller leaves, which are still packed with flavor, but are tender and small enough to not make you feel like you're eating a green salad. Another fun option I played around with in testing was micro basil, which is especially attractive and soft. In the Washington area, I got mine from Roots and Shoots. Little Wild Things Farm is another great source. Microgreens are making their way into more stores, so be on the lookout. You can absolutely use more conventional, larger basil, but for the best appearance, tear by hand rather than cutting with a knife. To keep it from wilting or turning black, don't add the basil until the second you're ready to serve the salad. And then seasoning. Sufficient seasoning is another important part of the Caprese success, Brandwine says. Salt brings out all the sweet and acidic flavors of the tomato. I like using a flaky sea salt. The bigger flakes means you have more control when sprinkling them, and applying them in two additions on the tomatoes and then over the almost finished salad ensures everything is laced with flavor. Don't be shy in adding more to taste either. Similarly, Brandwine recommends coarsely ground or cracked black pepper instead of a fine powder. Here's where to pull out your mortar and pestle if you have a set. Tempted to throw some balsamic vinegar on your caprese? Resist the urge. And if you like pesto, save it for a sandwich riff, which I've included in the recipe below. It's just supposed to be a very simple thing, Brandwine says, of the salad. Caprese salad. A simple caprese salad made with the best in-season summer tomatoes and good mozzarella is a thing of beauty. Just a few ingredients and a few minutes gets you this Italian classic. Feel free to tweak the amount of ingredients to your liking. These are flexible guidelines. 12 to 16 ounces of ripe slicing or heirloom tomatoes of various colors, cut horizontally into quarter-inch slices, may substitute halved cherry or grape tomatoes. Quarter teaspoon flaky sea salt, plus more to taste. Quarter cup extra virgin olive oil. 8 to 10 ounces of buffalo or fresh cow milk mozzarella at room temperature, torn into bite-sized pieces. 5 whole black peppercorns, cracked or coarsely ground, and 16 basil leaves, small to medium leaves, torn if larger, or 1/4 cup loosely packed micro basil. Step 1. Arrange the tomato slices on a large plate or wide, shallow bowl. You want something that will contain the olive oil and juices and make for easy scooping. Sprinkle with half of the salt, then drizzle with half of the olive oil. Step 2. Scatter the mozzarella pieces on top of and around the tomatoes. Drizzle the remaining olive oil over the entire dish, then sprinkle with the black pepper and remaining salt. Season to taste with more salt if desired. Scatter the basil leaves and serve. As a variation, you can use approximately the same ingredients here to make 3 or 4 caprese sandwiches. For each sandwich, split a ciabatta roll or 6 to 8 inch length of baguette in half. If desired, divide 1 tablespoon of homemade store-bought pesto between the cut halves. Layer 3 to 5 ounces of salted quarter-inch thick tomato slices on the bottom half of the bread, and dollop with about 2 ounces of buffalo or fresh cow milk mozzarella torn into bite-sized pizzas. Drizzle with 1 teaspoon of olive oil and season with salt and freshly ground pepper. Scatter a few basil leaves, micro or regular, on top, then finish the sandwich with the remaining bread half. Surprise! Cooking can be great for your mental health. New research suggests that cooking may offer mental health benefits. This is from the Clean Eating website. There are quite a few benefits to cooking and eating at home, many of which aren't all that surprising, and some you're probably familiar with. Here's one you definitely already know about. People who eat at home more frequently have a healthier diet overall, according to a 2020 study of more than 8,000 U.S. adults published in the journal Public Health Nutrition. Researchers found that folks who ate a home-cooked dinner 7 nights a week had significantly better scores on the healthy eating index than their counterparts who said they cooked dinner at home 0 to 2 nights a week. You'll probably save some money if you cook at home, says a 2018 Forbes analysis. When Forbes crunched the numbers, they found that we spend 5 times more money ordering dinner for delivery than if we were to make a home-cooked meal. What if you're using a meal kit delivery service? That's more affordable than a restaurant meal, but is still about 3 times as much as cooking from scratch. And because cooking at home gives you full control over what you put into your meal, you can avoid allergens and add or skip ingredients or nutrients you want to eat more or less of. Think tree nuts, gluten, salt, added sugars, saturated fat. See? Plenty of reasons. Now, new research shows there's another benefit. This one is fairly unexpected to cooking at home. It's a mood booster. In a new study published in March 2022 in the journal Frontiers in Nutrition, researchers in Australia found that when people took a cooking course, they improved their cooking skills and confidence, and also boosted their mental health significantly. What exactly did the researchers measure mental health-wise? Their survey asked participants about how cheerful and optimistic they were, how good did they feel about themselves, how relaxed or confident were they, and did they feel particularly useful? Overall, this smallish group of Australian adults, just over 650, completed a 7-week cooking program, and each week's course was 90 minutes long. The comparison group, aka the so-called control group, were similar adults who were on the waiting list for the same cooking class program and not yet enrolled. The goal of the cooking course was to teach participants basic cooking skills, efficient food shopping, and how to make a simple meal that was fresh, healthy, and budget-friendly. For the cooking class group, in addition to their improved mental health, they were also asked about their cooking confidence as it relates to following simple recipes, cooking new foods, tasting new-to-them foods, and whether or not their dish will turn out well. By and large, the feedback was positive. Why cooking is good for your mental wellness. Researchers of this Frontiers in Nutrition study suggested one reason why their findings were so positive for mental wellness. Cooking classes are a group of activity, and social support and camaraderie has already been shown to promote mental health. Cooking class participants also said that they enjoyed cooking more for themselves and others, which may explain why the mood-boosting benefits of this study persisted well after the cooking classes concluded. The unexpected non-benefits of cooking at home. What didn't change, however, after the cooking course was the healthfulness of the participants' diets. The healthy eating scores for veggie and fruit intake, as well as takeout or fast food, was no different between the so-called intervention group, those who took the 7-week cooking class, and the control group, those on the cooking class wait list. Other research is similar. This isn't the only study to look at cooking literacy and mental wellness. Other published studies have shown similarly supportive findings. Here are a few examples. In Canadian youths, being a part of a so-called food literacy program led to positive outcomes for mental well-being. Poorer mental health and well-being have been associated with lower food literacy and an unhealthy diet. Alternatively, being more confident in the kitchen is linked with enjoying food more and relishing in the experience of eating. Taking virtual cooking courses had been found to both teach home cooking skills and improve study participants' well-being. A review study of Australian cooking classes showed that despite cooking confidence increasing, overall diet habits weren't any better. Here's a recipe for you from the Taste of Home website, Mango Salsa. This delicious mango salsa is made easy with fresh mangoes, jalapeno, red onion, cilantro, fresh lime juice, and a couple of simple pantry seasonings. Enjoy it as a dip with crisp tortilla chips or over fish tacos, shrimp, burrito bowls, pork tenderloin, or grilled chicken breast. Enjoy it on top of your favorite salad or Tex-Mex casserole. It takes 10 minutes to prep, and the serving size is 3 cups. Ingredients: 3 mangoes peeled and finely diced, 1/3 cup of minced red onion, 1 minced jalapeno, 1/4 cup of chopped fresh cilantro, 1 teaspoon of chili powder, 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt to taste, and one lime that's been juiced. In a medium bowl, combine the mango, red onion, jalapeno, cilantro, chili powder, salt, and lime juice. Stir gently to mix. Let it rest for 20 minutes before serving, or cover and refrigerate for up to 3 days. And now here's a blueberry BFF coffee cake recipe. Cake batter, 1/4 cup butter softened, 1/2 cup of granulated sugar, 1 large egg, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, and 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 cup of sour cream, and 1 cup of fresh blueberries, sprinkled with a small amount of flour. For the streusel topping, you'll need 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, 1/2 cup of brown sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 2 tablespoons of cold butter cut in pieces, and 1/3 cup of chopped pecans. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Grease and flour an 8 to 9 inch round cake pan. Cream the butter with the sugar. Stir in vanilla and egg. In a separate bowl, whisk together the flour, baking soda, baking powder, and salt. Add the dry ingredients to the moist, alternately with the sour cream until moistened. Sprinkle the blueberries with a teaspoon of flour. This prevents them from sticking to the bottom of the pan. Then fold them into the prepared batter. Spoon the batter into the pan. Using clean fingers or a pastry cutter, prepare the streusel topping. Mix all the ingredients together until the topping is crumbly. Spoon the streusel topping over the cake batter in the pan. Bake in a preheated oven for 30 to 35 minutes until a toothpick inserted into the center comes out cleanly. Remove to a cooling rack in a pan for 10 minutes. Remove the cake from the pan and continue cooling on the rack. Store tightly covered at room temperature. I didn't get to the last recipe, but I wanted to remind you that August 18th is National Fajita Day. So grab some chicken or beef fajitas and make them yourself or get them at a restaurant. We've run out of time today for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.